Henke versus Astra, Mr. Duncan.
May it please the court. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Dana Duncan. I represent Helen Henke and her claim for supplemental security income. At the time of the hearing, Ms. Henke was 47 years of age and was suffering from both physical and mental impairments. Given the limited nature of the argument today, I'm going to focus on the biggest area of concern in this decision, and that is that this case is seriously flawed in that the ALJ found that the claimant had no severe physical impairments, yet imposed a physical limitation to light duty work.
So just to confirm, the commissioner notes you're no longer challenging anything on the basis of the mental impairments alleged?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, Judge.
There were some errors in the ALJ's analysis, but can you tell me how these work to her detriment rather than to her benefit?
In this particular case, Judge, if the decision is so flawed that it calls into question the ability or the rationale of the judge, it's my opinion and our argument that it cannot stand. In this particular case,
Can you tell me how, though, please, how it worked to her detriment?
Well, in this particular case, she used a hypothetical question. There were several occupations found by the vocational expert. If you read and compare the decision to the testimony of the vocational expert, the administrative law judge didn't even use the occupations that were cited by the vocational expert.
And how did this hurt her?
The question is, Judge, whether if this is flawed, is her entire analysis flawed? Does she exercise the amount of analysis of the entire case that the hypothetical question, that the residual functional capacity, everything accurately reflected her decision? In this particular case, she disregarded the treating physician, disregarded the state agency physician, and made her own findings.
Well, the treating physician, I mean, there was a total lack of support for the limitations in his treatment notes. I think that's a legitimate reason.
Okay. I'm not arguing that this case, if remanded, is going to automatically result in a favorable ruling. What I am arguing is that this case is so flawed and the decision so flawed that this court cannot put confidence in the ALJ's analysis, and that this requires that it be at least reevaluated. Because if the treating physician's assessment is unsupported, a lot of the records that were provided at hearing were not analyzed by the state agency physicians. She had a mental health expert at the hearing. She could very well have called a physical expert or physical medicine expert to testify at the hearing. This could have been done in a completely different way than it was, and could very well have resulted in a different analysis. It's almost as if this is a situation where the judge decided this was going to be a denial and then set out to figure out how best to arrive at that conclusion.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're deep in your rebuttal.
All right. I guess at that point I will wait and use my slot for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Duncan. Ms. Batista?
May it please the Court, Christine Bautista for the Commissioner of Social Security. I'd first like to point out that because the ALJ found at least one severe impairment and decided this case at step 4 of the sequential evaluation, it doesn't matter whether the ALJ found any individual impairment to be severe What matters is whether the ALJ properly assessed Ms. Henke's residual functional capacity, which she did. Turning to the functional capacity, the question here is whether the ALJ considered and accounted for Ms. Henke's residual neck pain from her salivary gland surgeries in her physical RFC finding. And the answer is yes. With respect to Ms. Henke's physical functional capacity, the ALJ discussed the relevant medical evidence relating to her neck pain, as well as the opinions of her treating physician, Dr. Preciado Liestra. With respect to the medical evidence, the ALJ noted that 2 weeks after her first surgery to remove her left salivary gland in November 2007, Ms. Henke reported near complete resolution of her left-sided neck pain. And several months later, a neck CT scan showed problems only with Ms. Henke's right salivary gland. And the following month, she underwent surgery to remove the right salivary gland. Thereafter, the record showed no complaints of neck pain during her visits to her treating physician 3 months and 6 months after that surgery. And there was no evidence of treatment or any medications prescribed for neck pain. So the evidence showed that Ms. Henke's neck pain dissipated. And her
what do you do if you don't have salivary glands?
I'm not quite sure what you do without salivary glands, but I don't think it affected her.
Well, wouldn't your mouth be horribly dry? And what do people do?
I'm not quite sure, but the medical records don't indicate that she had any further problems.
There was no discussion of this?
There was no discussion in the medical evidence, Your Honor.
Okay.
So after discussing the evidence, the ALJ reasonably concluded that Ms. Henke's allegations of continued neck pain after her surgeries was not supported by the medical evidence. The ALJ also considered Dr. Preciado Riestra's opinions regarding Ms. Henke's physical limitations and gave good reasons for discounting them. The treating doctor gave two opinions in which she gave extreme physical limitations and essentially concluded that Ms. Henke was disabled. But as the ALJ explained, these opinions were not supported by the treating doctor's own records and were inconsistent with the objective medical evidence. Dr. Preciado Riestra gave his first opinion in December 2007, which was 1 month after Ms. Henke's first surgery. And she noted that Ms. Henke saw the doctor 1 day before he gave his opinion, and he only treated her for her mental impairments. The doctor didn't record any physical impairment that would warrant a limitation to working 0 hours a day for 5 days a week, as the doctor opined. And the ALJ also noted that as a result of her surgery, she reported to her surgeon 2 weeks later that her neck pain had essentially resolved. Dr. Preciado Riestra's second opinion was dated in November 2008. And the ALJ noted that, again, this opinion was not supported by the treating doctor's own records. And as well, the ALJ noted that the doctor based his second opinion partly on Ms. Henke's reported chronic back pain, hip pain, and degenerative joint disease, but these conditions were never mentioned anywhere in the record other than in a November 2008 disability examination. There was no evidence of any treatment or any supporting objective findings. So for these reasons, the ALJ reasonably rejected Dr. Preciado Riestra's opinions, and her reasons were sound and supported by the record. To summarize, the record clearly shows that after her surgeries, Ms. Henke's residual neck pain dissipated, and indeed, she didn't receive any treatment or take any medications for her neck pain after her surgeries. And in assessing Ms. Henke's residual functional capacity, the ALJ discussed the important evidence and giving Ms. Henke the benefit of the doubt limited her to light work. And here, the record overwhelmingly supports the conclusion that Ms. Henke could perform physically at least light, if not higher exertion work. And as the judge pointed out, any errors that were in the ALJ's decision were actually to Ms. Henke's advantage. Unless the court has further questions, we respectfully request that the court affirm the ALJ's decision.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Patton.
With all due respect to the commissioner, the idea that one severe impairment is enough to resolve all issues is not correct. If instead of...
But doesn't that just depend on the record? Sometimes people bring forward a combination of things, and sometimes it winds up focusing on one. But I take it the only physical impairment that's been preserved on this record is, in fact, the neck pain. Is that correct?
That's correct, Judge. And yeah. To take that, I put an analogy in the brief that specifically says that, for instance, if the conditions are related, then that would make sense. But a mental claim and a physical claim, if it was the opposite way, if they found that she was limited to light and then there was evidence in the record that said she was limited in concentration, persistence, and pace, and the judge said nothing, this court has continuously held that in such circumstances, remand is granted. I believe I'm out of time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Duncan. Next case for our